Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Pneumatica. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Noah and the New Creation. I have spent a considerable length of time with the flood account as given to us in the Genesis record. For a very important reason, and that is, according to the New Testament, the flood narrative, as it were, is a picture and a model for us to consider very deeply. It is a picture of the power of God. It is a picture of the power of God unleashed in judgment upon a world that had acquiesced to a system of behavior that was radically opposed to the character of God. And so it was God's prerogative to remove the antediluvian world. There had come upon the earth just this sustained and relentless degradation, this deconstruction of the race, of the human race. And I want to stress at this point that there, I use that term human race in a very specific manner. There's one race of man. It is, yes, race is a 19th century anthropology term, anthropological term. And I am not using the word race in the sense of the 19th century. And to refer to the races, as it were. There are no races. There is the human group, the human group, period. And so what we have recorded for us in the scriptures is an account of God's judgment. And we are told in the scriptures that judgment is his strange work. It is not something that God enjoys, but it is something that sometimes judgment, something that must take place at certain times due to the outrageous violation and the transgression of what God has set in place for the world. Man may have his own moral imperative that is radically opposed to God's moral imperative, but God is the creator. And it is interesting that man's moral imperative eventuates in some type of moral relativism in which what is right. And that right, belief in what is right, could be radically opposed to the divine imperative. And so the exploitation of others, the use of others, the oppression of others, suppression of freedom, the taking away of freedom, the manipulation of ideas and education, the use of the models put together by certain groups to control human behavior, to elicit a response to certain forms of information, as it were, algorithms that have been perfected in order to control and predict human behavior toward a certain end. This is where we live today. This is the kind of world in which we find ourselves and in which our children will inherit. And so nothing that is extraneous or outside of this world that has been imposed upon us is given or provided so that our children will have a choice. Everything, it seems, has been manipulated or is being manipulated toward a certain end. And so this message in the book of Genesis is about who God is. And the fact that he is the one who finally says what is or what is to be. Isaiah has this profound verse related to God as creator. And so I'm going to begin reading from Isaiah chapter 45, and beginning at verse 18. So this is what the Lord says: He who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, tohu. And this word is found in Genesis chapter 1. And the earth was formed and without and void. The earth was without form and void. And darkness, a koshak, was upon the face of the roaring deep. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. That is, sculpting topography. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. It is interesting that some have suggested that this verse can read, I am the Lord, and there is no other celebrity. And I love that. I love the power of that and what that suggests to us spiritually. I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain. In the Hebrew, again, we have the word tohu, or emptiness. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare reality. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare reality. And so it is with this foundation as to who God is that we approach the text. It is with this foundation and understanding of who God is as creator. And please keep in mind that the Hebrew mind, the universe was not a mechanical or mechanistic entity. That is from the West. There is a Western view of the universe. And so, and with the Western theories of matter or mass energy, and what it represents. And so the universe is seen as impersonal, or mass is seen as a standing wave function imposed upon void. And there is that view, because it does not allow for a moral presence. It does not allow for the presence of an infinite, a personal being called God. That matter or mass energy is merely a standing wave function imposed upon void. Well, then, man is here as an accident. Or as one writer said, our number came up in the Monte Carlo game. And so fiat, chance, or chance and necessity. Man is here by accident. And it is interesting that those who want to believe that man is here by fiat or some type of biological accident have very well crafted and cogent theories as to how this came about, and their arguments are not the product of mere chance and necessity. And so to make the universe impersonal opens the door for so much that individuals would want to do without the awareness that God is there, or without the accountability to the infinite personal God. This type of atheism was extant at that time too. But when Yahweh looked upon the situation, he found that every thought of the imagination of the heart of man was only evil continually. And so this was the cause of the coming of the Mabul, in which God God used to wipe away this settled belief, this settled attitude in the hearts of individuals who did not want to worship or follow the living God. But we are told that there were a few, such as Enoch, from the word Kanach, Enoch and Noah, whose name means rest. So these individuals followed God. They filled in after God during a time in which in society at large, this was not the case. We read that Enoch was translated. He was snatched out by God, that he should not see Thanatos or experience physical death. He was snatched away. And so we read that in his wonderful and powerful spiritual life, that he walked with God. He settled in his heart that this is what he wanted for his life, to walk with God. And God blessed that commitment that Enoch made. And later we have the faithful Noah, who took God at his word. He believed God, and it was, like Abraham, accounted or reckoned to his account as righteousness. The word believe is not found in the Old Testament as such as the word is pistuo is used in the book of John. But what we do find in the Old Testament is the word aman, A-M-A-N, from which we get our word amen. Aman has the word picture that we have from aman is that of the tent stake that is driven into the ground in order to help and with a rope tied around it in order to help to support the tent structure. And so aman means a stake. It means firmness. And that is the picture that we have in the Old Testament, that a stake means firmness toward God. It means that one has decided that he will follow the living God. That is, he will have firmness toward God. And I love that picture. I love that picture because this is more than intellectual assent. It is a picture that communicated a great deal to those in the Old Testament because they could see, they would have a graphic picture. And the word aman, which means firmness, as to the kind of relationship that Yahweh demanded, that Yahweh wanted with his people. And so this was found in the character of Noah, and hence his faithfulness toward God, which was not an easy thing. But nevertheless, he obeyed God and completed what God had asked him to do. He did not look to the right or to the left, but he looked straight on toward Yahweh. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that we are to have a protracted gaze upon the Exodus. We are to direct our hearts toward him. We are never to take our eyes off of him. He is the object of faith. His finished work on the cross, his finished work on the tree, is the way by which we receive our rescue, our salvation. He is the greater Noah. He today, that is the Jesus, is our ark of salvation. Whosoever will may come. The same message that was given during the time of Noah, whosoever will may come. That message was preached throughout the years in which Noah was making preparation. And even today, God is preparing. God is building up. When one comes to the living Christ, he becomes a member, or she becomes a member of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is being built up today. The body of Christ is being built up by those who see their need of a Savior, who see their need of rescue, who can see that the way they have been going has not resulted in lives of satisfaction, and that those things that they have tried to use to bring satisfaction into their lives have not worked. But to the contrary, have caused a great amount of pain, have caused a considerable amount of confusion, and may even have led to bitterness. And you find that you are tired of the superficiality of life today, and you find that you are tired of the triviality of life, or so-called life today, and you want something more than mere shadows. And indeed, it seems that as if life today has degenerated into a chasing of shadows. But let me say this morning that the good news, the gospel message, represents completion. We have a completed salvation through the living Christ. We have a perfect salvation through the living Christ. He is there to meet our most basic, our most fundamental need. He said in John's gospel, "I am, ego eimi, I am the water of life. If you thirst, come to me." He said that I am the bread of life. If you hunger, come to me. He is the source of eternal life. He is the source. And so let me say this morning that the greater Noah is receiving those into the ark of safety that is the church. He is receiving. And I'm not talking about a physical geographic building. I am talking about the living church of the living God that he redeemed through his own blood. See, the church cost God everything. The Jesus was lifted up on the tree. He was nailed to the tree, fastened there with nails that were 5 to 7 inches long with a 5/8 of an inch diameter. He was fastened there. And he endured excruciating suffering. As we read, particularly in the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament, and particularly the book of Isaiah, in which we read that God slammed down upon his Son the sins of the world. The sins of the world were downloaded upon the Son of God. God allowed his Son to suffer that we might have eternal life. The turbulent waters of the wrath of God were suffered by the Son of God. And yet we read he was lifted up, and after he had suffered for sin, we hear, "It is finished." Tetelestai. It is finished. The wrath of God was set aside. It is finished. And so, because the wrath of God was suffered by the Son of God, we have salvation. We have a new creation. As Noah was lifted up above the waters of the Mabul, Noah was in that new creation, in that Teva. The Teva was the new creation. There, Noah and his family were safe from the waters of wrath. They were safe. And he moved from the already into the not yet, in a sense that the ark was born aloft upon those waters. But God had already prepared a brand new life for Noah. Through faith, we read in the book of Hebrews, through faith, Noah obeyed God. Through faith, Noah listened to God and obeyed God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, we read, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet as seen, or not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah's strong faith, Noah's exemplary faith, Noah's unswerving faith in the face of incredible conflict and opposition, in the face of ridicule, in the face of mockery, intense mockery, in the face of intense erratic and irrational skepticism. Noah's heart said this, I know in whom I have believed. Noah worked out his own salvation with fear and trembling. What has happened to that? What has happened to that understanding that Paul writes about? He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We read in Hebrews 11 that by faith Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Where is that healthy fear, that healthy phobos toward God? Where has that gone? Have we so intellectually watered down the attributes and the character of God that God is merely has a mere negligible space within our understanding, and we have elevated the God of psychotherapeutic insight above the throne of God? Well, the church has paid dearly for this renunciation of the position of God and who God is. We need the Spirit of God more than the Word of man. St. Augustine wrote a marvelous tune called The City of God. And then he also spoke of the city of man. Much psychotherapeutic insight on the city of man. Let me say today that the Spirit of God is still changing hearts and making that new creation, moving people to that new creation through regeneration. Today, if you would like to know God in a powerful way, come to him through his Son, through the Exodus, and you can too experience God's new creation. I'm your host, Dr. Tobias Rich. Have a wonderful day, and I will see you next time on Pneumatic Cost.